It's good already, isn't it? Woo, you're already glad you came. You're already glad you got out of bed and said, I'm going to go to church today. And we're glad that you're here. Welcome to Christ Community Church. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 16. You can be turning your Bibles there. But in the meantime, I want to have a message to our kids. Ready, break. And look how good they're walking with no reminder. They're growing. We're looking for progress, not perfection. Look at that. We're doing good. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 16. I wish I could have had you all in my brain yesterday, but you weren't there. I had thoughts of you, but I had an opportunity to run a 5K. I say run a 5K, I'm using that word run figuratively. It's kind of a lineman trot a little bit. Most of the time it's just fast walking, and sometimes it's just kind of, man, I hope I can get back. As I did, this scripture came to my mind, and I was just so excited about it, and I praying that that will come out in this message. But, you know, I had y'all there because when you run or walk or do something that's challenging physically, a lot of times it becomes a reflective time, time to think about what's going on and what you're doing. And I had a moment like that, enjoying the beautiful scenery around Grenada Lake, thinking about the cause that we were there for, to promote awareness and promote the eventual the eventual victory over breast cancer and really in all kinds of cancer. I think God's going to do that for us someday, and it's going to be an awesome time. But while I was there just enjoying that, it began to sink in on me what Jesus said about his church. And he said in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, I will build my church. I will build my church. He didn't pass the buck over to somebody else. He didn't say, my church will get built somehow or some way. He didn't suggest that you and I should try to build his church for him. He didn't suggest that the government was going to build the church or that churches would just spring up out of the ground like good news fairies just popping up everywhere, which that's how good news fairies do. They just pop up out of nowhere. I don't know if you ever... Anyways, that's a rabbit trail. We won't go there. He says, I will build my church. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for how you love us. I thank you for the boldness of this statement that has no equivocation about whose responsibilities, whose strength, whose shoulders this task really lies on. Who's going to make it happen? Who's going to get it done? Who's been making it happen? Who's been getting it done? Thank you, Father, that you gave us your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has taken upon his mighty shoulders not just the sin of the world, but also the building of the church. And we who are here a long, long way from Jerusalem, preaching the Bible, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, are indebted to the fact that you've been building your church for the last two centuries to make sure that in the last 400 years there could be a church on this continent so we can hear your gospel and sing praises to your name. And Father, we look forward to your continued work in building your church. And Lord, I'm blessed to be a part and to see what you're doing. And Father, we give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I just want to brag on Jesus for a moment, if that's all right with y'all, because he says, I'm going to build my church. That means he's the builder of the church. And it just reminded me of some other passages where Jesus relates himself to the church. In Ephesians chapter 1, he says, he is the head of the church. It says of Jesus when it comes to Hebrews chapter 13 that he is the great shepherd of the church. In John chapter 10, it says he is the good shepherd for his people. In 1 Peter chapter 5, it says he's the chief shepherd of his people. Also of the church in Jesus, it says he is the bridegroom. He's the groom. He's the man for the church. He's the one. He's that one. It says he's the Savior of the church, the Savior of the body. Nobody else is. He is. And we start thinking about these things. And he's the shepherd. He's the builder. He's the Savior. He's the head. He's the Lord of the church. And it just reminds me that when we meet together, this is no small thing. This is not just a human collection. You're not coming here to be entertained. I know that. There's a lot more entertaining things out there than me. Woo! I think about when I was a Christian, before I was a Christian, and on Sunday morning, if you said, what do you do to be entertained? I didn't watch church on TV. I didn't go to church in person. I tried to find out what was playing on the matinee, and maybe I went to the show. Maybe I watched Columbo reruns. Maybe I just slept because that's what I wanted to do on Sunday morning. Y'all, listen, we don't gather up to be entertained. We don't gather up just to see human, you know, just to see our friends and rub elbows with everybody. That's not the purpose of what God is calling people together for. He's building a church. What that means is a called out group of people who are blessed to know Him and who are committed to what He's doing in the world. And I know sometimes we think we're the center of church. It's just American pride. We just got to call it what it is. You know, we always think, well, how's the church doing? The church is weak, and the church is anemic, and nobody's coming to the church, and people don't like the church anymore. That's just because Americans have become so fat and sassy in our ways. That's all. You want to know what your church... The church is doing great, because the church is a lot bigger than just in America. Man, the church is worldwide, and it's growing. Jesus is building His church today like never before. Go to China and you'll find all kinds of Christians. Even though they're being persecuted, they're multiplying, they're growing. Jesus is building His church there. It's an awesome thing, an awesome thing. In the Philippines, Jesus is building His church. In Indonesia, Jesus is building His church. In sub-Saharan Africa, Jesus is building His church. He's doing this work. And we might look and say, well, He's not doing a lot around here. Well, I'm going to tell you, He's going to keep building His church around here. Now, maybe some of the material He has to use is a little warped. But I'm going to tell you, the responsibility for building the church is on Him. And He keeps His word. He takes care of His responsibility. He's going to do it. He's going to build His church. And I don't know about y'all, but I see in this an opportunity for Christ Community Church to say, Lord, we want to be a part of what You're doing. We want to be a part of Your work. We want to be a part. We want to be useful to You. We want to see Your hand as You build Your church. And that's exciting to me. I believe that's why we're here. You can think of every other reason why people come to church, but the reason why church exists is because Jesus is building it to show us His glory, to build our faith, and to remind us that He loves us, and to remind us to tell other folks that He loves them too. So we're going to look at Jesus building His church, and I just want to cover 4 points. Or we could say, Jesus might make this statement. I am building my church for this. I will build my church, point number one, to be free of useless religion. To be free of useless religion. I think if He was going to do something as He builds, as He does something in America or in any place where the church and a Christian witness has been there more than a couple hundred years, what ends up happening is weird, crazy, useless, religious mumbo-jumbo creeps in and people forget about the basic gospel message, which is this. Christ Jesus died for your sins. He rose on the third day, and those who exercise their faith in Him can be born again, saved, a whole new life. That's the simple gospel message. But in the meantime, a lot of humbo-jumbo or mumbo-jumbo gets in the way. In this chapter of Matthew, Jesus warns His disciples in chapter 16, verse 6. He says this, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. For all y'all who've been studying the Bible a little bit, you know He wasn't talking about real yeast and real leaven. He was talking about their teaching, their doctrine, their religion. He He was talking about the legalism, the traditionalism, the materialism, and the other isms that infiltrated their thought and their thinking to where it was no longer useful. Some of the things he said about their religion was this: they honor man more than they honor God. They honor mankind's teachings more than they honor God's teachings. He says they are hypocrites in the sense that they ask people to do things that they are unwilling to do themselves. He says if somebody were to adhere or listen to their teachings, they'd become twice the son of hell as the people who taught them would become. So he just railed against their religion. He says, beware. Don't let that infiltrate you, because the church I'm building is not about a set of rules and ceremonies and circumstances. It's about the living gospel that really changes people's lives, and that's how I'm going to build my church, free of mumbo jumbo. Y'all, there ain't nothing you can do religiously, ceremonially, that's going to make you right with God. You can't give money. You can't light a candle. You can't say, and become right with God. You can't walk, you can't do it on your own. Religion will tell you this is what you got to do to be right with God. The church that Jesus is building says this is what God did to make you right with Him. Totally different. Jesus' church is about how God has reached to us, as opposed to trying to train people to reach up to God. He came for us, and His church is going to be free of that leaven, of that teaching, of that doctrinal stuff that poisons people. The next thing, Jesus says, I will build my church based on the revealed truth from God. Based on the revealed truth from God. And this is what it says in verse 16. Chapter 16, verse 17. Blessed are you, because flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. See that in verse 17? Jesus was asking the question, who do men say that I am? And they said, some people say you're Elijah, and some people say you're the prophet, and some people say you're somebody else. Isn't that funny? We still have people wondering who Jesus is today. He was just a good teacher. There's a main religion in our world today that says Jesus was just a prophet. One of many, but just a prophet. He was just a man of God among many men of God. Some people say he's make-believe. Doesn't matter. He's just been perpetuated by church-going people. This is what I found. Church don't really go if people don't really know who he is. Sooner or later, they lose their interest. Sooner or later, they figure out, I'm not coming to do this thing anyway because it doesn't make a difference. The only reason we know about Jesus today is because people really had received truth from God that Jesus is the Son of the living God, that He really is who He said He was. And it's on the basis of that truth that Jesus is building His church, not on the basis of need. So often we get to think that church is based on the basis of need. Well, we need to get together and meet one another's needs. And we need to get together and meet the needs of the community. And we need to get together because of all the neediness. That's not the basis for which the church stands. We don't meet together because of needs. We don't do things because people need. People will always need. There will always be poor. There will always be hurt. There will always be lost. And I'll tell you, the church would have done flamed up in the first century when it was created and burned out due to lack of resources and lack of motivation if it was only about the needs of a lost and dying world. That's not why we're here. We're here, Jesus' church is here, because people believe Jesus really is the Son of God. And having had that revealed to them, they realize they need to live a life for Him. It's not about just the need. It's about, I really believe there's a God. You know, I've had some people say to me throughout my preaching career, they say, Big John, we don't necessarily care for how you preach, but what we can tell is you believe what you're talking about. And it's always struck me funny, because I think, who have you been listening to that doesn't believe what they're talking about? And why are they speaking about the gospel if they don't believe it? But I'm here to say, I believe Jesus Christ saved me when I was 19 years old, thankfully before I had all kinds of loss and different things in my life that I've seen so many other people go through. He intervened and saved me, and I know that He's real, and I preach because of it. I try to help needy people because of it, but my real motivation is I believe God exists. He's real. Jesus Christ really is my Lord and Savior. I'm going to stand face to face with Him someday. Matter of fact, I believe you're going to stand face to face with Him someday. And I don't want to go meet Him, and I don't want you all to go meet with Him, not having believed in Him when you've had the opportunity. You might say, John, it doesn't seem real. Well, what are you basing all this on? That's what you need to ask yourself. Somebody on the news doesn't believe Jesus. Somebody in the Middle East don't believe Jesus. Somebody in your home don't believe Jesus. So what? What do you believe? That's where you're going to be held accountable. Who is Jesus in your life? I know to me, He's my Lord. He's my Savior. He's the living Son of God. And it's based on that rock of truth that Jesus Christ is building His church. You know, I told you before, and I told my Sunday school class, because I'm a pastor and because I'm a human being, I suffer from pride. And I always want to have a big church full of people. If I can have a building the size of whatever, there's a big building. If I can have a big building, this is a pretty big building. If we could stack up chairs from one side to another, cut the aisle out, because we got to have this whole place full of chairs, and we got to have five services because so many thousands of people want to come to this church. That used to be my desire and used to be my hope. Lord, fill this building full of people. You know, that's because I came at this whole church thing through my human pride and because I was alleviating the fact that this whole thing is based on truth. And I just wanted to be built up. What a great pastor John is. What a great preacher John must be. What a great man of God. And I just go, yeah, it's all about me. It's nice. And my flesh is acting like we're at the buffet just filling up. Yeah, fill it up with people. People, 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 people. Here's what I've come to the conclusion. If the people in your church haven't based their life on this truth, they ain't helping in the mission anyway. So you can load it up with thousands of people. If their life isn't based on the revealed truth of God, that Jesus Christ is really the Son of the living God, Savior and Lord of the world, it doesn't matter how many people you have. You're not part of this church building that's going on. I changed my prayer. Lord, it's not about filling this building with people. It's about filling the people in this building. It's about revealing yourself to the people in this building. Because I'd rather stand before Him as the pastor of 100 people sold out to the Lord Jesus Christ because they know the truth about who He is than stand in front of God being the pastor of 1 million people who have no clue who He is. That would be much better. That would actually be a part of building His church as opposed to just housing people for the hour between 11 and 12 or whatever. And if it's 11 and 12, let me just tell you, you need to come to Sunday school. It starts at 9:30. We're having a good time studying the Gospel of John. You're invited. Also studying Experiencing God at 9:30 over back there in Bert's class. It's a good, solid study. You're invited to come. Just a little commercial for Sunday school. Next, I will build my church, he says. I will build my church to be victorious over every enemy. To be victorious over every enemy. And that might sound lofty because there's some bad enemies when it comes to who battles with mankind and who battles against His church. But I want you to look in verse 18 of chapter 16. And he says this. About Peter, he said, Peter, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. The gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Now, a lot of times we always say the gates of hell will not prevail against it. But I'm going to tell you something, there's a difference between hell and Hades. It's slight, but it's different. And when you see this, I think it might open a whole new world. See, we kind of get this idea we'll be victorious and we're going to blast through the devils and the demons and we're going to slash through Satan and all that stuff. That's like a movie. God ain't called you to be a spiritual Rambo, carrying out your anointing oil and slapping things down, doing all this stuff. There's an enemy right now to your body. There's an enemy to your soul and your mind. It's called death. Hades is the place of death. Hades is the ultimate place for where we're going to, we march in there. Our bodies are mortal. We're going to end up in the realm of death. That's what Hades is. It's the realm of death. You say, how can we prevail against that? I don't know. You know what would be really cool, though? If one of us would, after they died, rise from the dead and lead all the rest of us with them. That would be cool if we can get somebody to do that for us. Oh, wait a minute. Maybe that's what we're on to here. Because even death as an enemy to mankind was insufficient to stop Jesus Christ. Furthermore, it's insufficient to stop those who follow Jesus Christ. I want you to notice how it says the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. That's because he kicked those gates wide open and he's on the other side calling and said, come on with me, babies. We're going to live forever. We're going to go to the place that is life evermore and you won't be stopped. That's the good news. That's the victory of the church. So I know if we can whoop death through Christ, you can whoop whatever financial disaster is plaguing your life right now. You can whoop whatever domestic issues you're having with your spouse, with your mama, with your children, with your sister, with your brother, with your neighbors. You can whoop those problems and enemies too. You can overcome all things through Christ because listen to me, church, he's destined us to prevail over death itself. That can't hold us in. It can't hold us out. We're going to own it. We're going to walk right through it. Not on our own good works. Remember who's building this church? He's building his church. Jesus is building his church. Here's something else we miss about church, and I didn't put it in my outline, but it has to do with defeating death. In the book of Ephesians in chapter 3, it says, may there be glory to Christ in his church forevermore. So, you know what that means? If there's going to be glory in his church forevermore, this whole church thing that Jesus is building doesn't just stop on this side of the coffin. There's going to be glory in his church forevermore. Forevermore, there will be glory in his people, in his flock, in his bride, in his body, in his building that he's making forevermore. We will be victorious even over the greatest of enemies. In other words, don't you quit on what he's doing. You might come to the end of your rope. You might come to the end of your strength. All that means is you need to start looking to him for more rope and more strength and more grace and more faith and more power and more love because he's got it. And just because you've run out of it doesn't mean the tank's empty. It just means you need to switch tanks because his tank's never empty. Oh, I've run out of patience. I've run out of this. Whoop-a-dee-doo. Did you think you had a whole lot to begin with? I always am amazed. I just run out of patience. Well, it's only because you had that much, honey. Most of us got about that much if we're lucky. We got to depend on him. And when we run out, we depend on his strength. You know there's problems in this world you can't fight in your own strength? I listed some of them. Finances, domestic, spiritual issues. This is a sweet thing happened to me and my wife. I was asleep. I was so dead asleep, I did not even hear it happen. And you'll find out how soundly I sleep when I tell you this story. My daughter came into our room, which is an achievement because everybody was asleep and they weren't sleeping in our bed already. And so I feel like we've made some real progress. And so Annabeth, my 5-year-old, comes running into my room and Sarah said she jumped right on top of me. I have no recollection. I was out. And she said this. Sarah said, baby, what's the matter? She said, can I stay here, Mama? She said, yeah, baby, what's the matter? Because she could tell she was shook. She was scared. She said, I just want to pray right now. Jesus, I don't want no more nightmares. Jesus, I don't want no more nightmares. And she prayed last night. Now that I didn't hear, but last night she prayed, Jesus, we don't want no nightmares. I don't want no nightmares. I don't want no nightmares for Allie and for Josh and for Levi and for Mama and for Daddy. Y'all listen, it sounds simplistic and it's cute, but she's already come to understand something. She can't control her nightmares, but she needs somebody bigger and stronger. She needs to ask somebody's help, and she's asking the right person's help. And I'm telling you, I was so proud to hear that from my daughter saying, I want to ask Jesus for help for these nightmares, things I can't control. And I tell you, she's on the right way. She's in the right thinking. That same kind of thinking, although it started, I'm sharing a story of a five-year-old, although it's simple, it's the same kind of thinking you and I need to adopt, where we say, I'm at the end of the rope, Jesus, take the wheel, help me out, do this thing, I can't do it. That doesn't mean you stop. You keep walking, and you trust Him to give you what you need to get through, and you keep calling on Him. Because you will be victorious, because He was victorious. That don't mean everybody liked Him. It don't mean His life was easy. Just means He won. He won. And He beat death. He did it first, and all those who believe in Him will follow. I will build my church. Last point in the outline. Based on the gospel. I will build my church based on the gospel. This sounds very similar to the next point, but I just wanted you to hear it. The gospel is God-revealed truth, but I want you to hear it specifically found here in the Word of God in chapter 16 and verse 21. Listen to what He tells His disciples. From that time, Jesus began to show His disciples that He must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed and be raised the third day. He bases it all on the historical gospel, not a make-believe fantasy, let everybody feel good about themselves. I'm going to tell you, fantasy ain't going to lead you to feeling good about yourself. Because it'll wear thin and you'll realize you're just deceiving yourself and deceiving others. But the good news is Jesus Christ really did go to Jerusalem. He really did suffer at the hands of the religious system of His time, the elders, the chief priests, the scribes. He really was killed and tasted death. And He really was raised on the third day to a newness of life into which He invites all of us to live. Those things really happened. And it's when we base our life on the reality of the gospel of Jesus Christ that we can find freedom and joy, that we're going to come not to necessarily have an unhealthy, prideful self-esteem, but we will come to understand that we have a God who loves us, in whose image we were created, and we can trust Him to do whatever it takes to save us, because that's what He did. He suffered, He died, He rose again. There is no other basis for the church that Jesus is building. There is no other plan B or plan C. There's no new revelation to come. I see in the bookstores why the church has to change. I'm cool with changing methods. I'm cool with changing the clothes we wear so we don't seem so, you know, stuffed shirt tied and all that stuff. All that can change because that's all meaningless. But here's the point. This message will never change the historical fact that Jesus died for your sin and rose from the grave is the basis for why we are here. And that gospel, according to Romans chapter 1, verse 16, is the ability, power of God to save a soul, to change a life, to bring someone into God's family, and He's the head of His family, to bring someone into God's flock, because He's the shepherd of the flock. To put somebody into God's building because He's the builder of the building. To bring somebody into God's body because He's the head of that body. To bring them into the body and the group of the saved because He is the Savior of the saved. He's the big brother in the family. Oh, it's all about Him. That's the church He's building. Christ Community Church, we are going to be a part of that. Are you excited? I hope you are. Now I want to make this invitation. And you can answer it. Sometimes people feel like God wants them to answer this invitation now. So we're going to take time for those who may be feeling like they need to take a move and say, I want to be in His program. I want to give myself to Him because He's the one who died for me. Maybe God revealed some truth about who Jesus is to you today, and you need to respond right now. We're going to have a time of invitation for that. Maybe you know Christ, and you have given your life to Him, but you have stayed at a distance, and you have not come close to see what He's doing in building His church. Well, your invitation is this. Come on. Come on, man. There's a guy I know, and that's his phrase. He always just look. He's just an old-timer. He loves the Lord. He means business. And when he starts talking to people who are crawfishing about their commitment to God, he just says, come on, man. Come on. And I think that communicates volumes. And I just want to say that. Come on, that's your invitation. Don't say you believe in the Son of God. You believe He really is. You believe He's building the church. And you believe it's okay for you to be on the sideline. No. Come close. See what He's doing, building His church. See where he might put you. See how He might use you. It's His responsibility. It's not Big John's responsibility to build this thing. It's not your responsibility to build this thing, but it's our responsibility to walk in faith and come close, see what He's doing. Y'all get me? Around here, at least in the greater part of Grenada, we say, yes. Or, be all right. Y'all know what I'm saying? You get me? Amen. It's all right. It don't got to be, amen, all right, okay. It could be all that stuff. I just want to make sure you're understanding that this is His thing. And when we meet together, it's no small deal. It's not to me. And I know there's other people who know it's no small deal because lives are changed. People are saved. God is glorified. And that's all a big deal. So now if you need to come forward to give your life to Christ or commit to Him that you're going to come near to Him, and you want to do that here before the busyness of life distracts you from even thinking about God for another week. Come up now. Now's your time. Father, I pray that as we have this time of invitation, if there's someone here who doesn't know You, has never come to understand or place their faith in the historical reality that Jesus Christ literally died on the cross for their sins and rose from the grave on the third day. Father, would You convict them in their heart, soul, and mind? Not condemn them. You didn't come into this world to condemn the world, but to save it. But in order to give their life to You, they need to come to understand they need a Savior and a Lord, and that's You. So, Father, would You help them and help them right now to come, or to help them throughout this week, month, year, rest of their life to answer this invitation about being a part of what You're building, and to do that at Christ Community Church. Father, we give You all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. We're just going to take a minute. Miss Kim's playing. If you need to come up here, I don't want to sell you short. So you take the time now to come. If you want to kneel here and pray, you come on down. If you want to pray, I'll be here to pray with you. You come on. Father, I just want to say right now, hey, Leslie, come on. This is Lee Veltri. We've been praying for Lee. Lee has just had a very extensive brain surgery, and she's come through it good. Have we been seizure-free? We've been seizure-free since the surgery, which is what the surgery was about. And that's an amen. All right, because we've been praying. Now, it took two surgeries to do this, and what Lee just shared with me was there might be a third surgery, another surgery necessary, okay? So I prayed for her. I prayed for her strength and that she'd be completely healed and protected through these things, and also prayed for her family, her mom and dad who are with her and her friends, and just praying that she'll be protected, but also pray just for her courage. She has been extremely faithful and courageous through this whole deal. She's been firm in the direction she's going. Would you please just continue to pray? Lee continues to need our prayer as her church family so that she'll heal up completely and be able to do and get back on her feet and be independent. But the idea that not having any seizures, that's a great start. And so we're really happy, but keep praying for Lee, okay? All right, and we love you. To God be the glory. There we go. Be careful. I'm not going to go into details of what medically Lee went through. It was to stop seizures that she's been having since she was 15 months old. And but just to say this, that's one of those medical miracle things to think about what they've done, and just continue to pray for her though. Because this would be a whole, can you imagine having seizures your whole life and not having them anymore? There'd be a new lease on life physically for what she's going through. So anyways, just keep that in mind. Keep her in mind in prayer. We're going to take up an offering now. And so if the ushers would come forward to take the morning offering. And a lot of times say, man, why you take up money at church? And it's because of this. We need it. You might say, well, God don't need no money. That's right. But he's asked us to be givers. And he told us it's better to give than receive. This is a blessing for us. If it's not a blessing for you, hold it. Don't give and then be spiteful about it. Because God, this isn't to keep God alive. It's to pay for air conditioning, for fat preachers, and for other things. Okay? We ain't holding nothing back. We're just telling you the truth of what's going on. It's also for reaching people who don't have money to have a place of their own. And if you don't know about Christ Community Church, you talk to us, talk about us in the community, and you'll find out. We help those who can't help themselves, who don't have a place. We provide a place. And to do that, it takes money in this world. So that's part of what we're doing. Okay, let me pray. Father, I pray that you would, as your people give, Father, just bless it. One, we already know there's the, just multiply it, be glorified in it. And Father, in all this, we are knowing that we don't fund, you're building the church. This is our way of participating. This is our way of saying, thank you, Lord, but we know it's not on our shoulders. So help us to be cheerful givers, not begrudging givers, not givers who are going to regret it later. Father God, help us to say, we give because we know that you're God and we have the benefit of being a blessing to those who are yet unreached. And Lord, that's why we do what we do. We love you and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.